He's been a blessing, and his wife, they've been close friends. And, you know, there's some similarities between the Carter family and the Leidig family. There's a lot of us in the ministry, and I appreciate his dad raising fine young men and serving the Lord. You're privileged to have a good pastor like that. A lot of churches don't have good pastors, so you should thank the Lord and pray for your pastor, because the devil attacks pastors. Because if he, you know, let's look at our country. The devil likes to get into places of leadership. Daniel 10 talks all about it, about, you know, demons getting in certain places and power. And so they attack your pastor. So pray for your pastor. Looking forward to this week. I'll put some stuff over here. I love missions. That's been my heart. And I was raised that way in the church in Wichita, Kansas, many years ago. And missions is the lifeblood of the church, you know. And like your pastor said, I love revivals. They're great. We need them. But the best week of the year is the missions conference. Yes. God works in the hearts of us all through missions. And so I count it a privilege to be with you this week, and pray by the grace of God, he'll work on every one of us. Amen. Amen. I was told I have a limited time here, so let's get into it. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And if you're able, let's stand as we read from God's word here. Verse 23, we'll start there. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do. Were what?
Drown.
They drown. Lord, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for each one of these good people here. And Lord, we pray that you just take over this service. We want to glorify your name. And Lord, you promise through the preaching of your word, you'd save those that need the Lord. And Lord, that you'd deal with each of our hearts. And I pray you'd give me that unction from the Holy Spirit to preach exactly what we need to hear this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 2020 is over, but it seems like we're still in it. And the many things happening around this country and really this world has disrupted our life, no doubt about it. The way we do things, the places we go, the normal habits we've had have been thrown out the window. And sad to say, shaking hands is questionable. You know, you're going to go over, you got an elbow, or what are you going to do? You know, and masks everywhere, and distancing ourselves from others. And some places now are off limits that used to be common places to go.
Yeah.
And you can't study the expressions of people because you can't even see what their face is. And even you watch TV game shows and they don't stand close to each other. You know, it's just weird. Everything we've seen today has moved us out of our old comfort zone. Moses' life, it was one in which God removed him out of his comfort zone. Think about it. Moses was raised in a great situation. Though he was a Jew, he was raised like an Egyptian. He got to live in the palace. He had all the comforts of life and that the royalty would have. And he had a relatively easy life, and especially in difference to his own people there, the Jews who were suffering greatly. Each day he lived was a life of luxury, free from fear and difficulty. Then one day, God made him aware of the need of his people. And he saw their bitter and tormented lives, and the insufferable conditions that they faced caused him to consider, what does God want in my life? What does God want me to do? You know, sometimes disruptions in our regular routine may be good for us.
Yeah.
Shake us out of our old, sometimes bad habits or apathy, you know. And sometimes God does that because then we'll begin to analyze, where is my life taking me? What am I doing right now that I shouldn't be doing? And what should I be doing for God that I haven't been doing? And we may begin to analyze that there's people in this world that God wants us to interact with and affect. And we may start to realize we've gotten too comfortable. If anything in America, that's been the biggest thing, a biggest problem is apathy. And a little bit of 2020 is kind of shaking the dust off of us. And it's humanity. That's how we are. We tend to be lazy.
Yeah.
Let's admit it, you know. And there's a ever consistent downward slide. I've seen, I'm an old man now, and I've seen ups and downs, you know. And begin to see that we can need to be shaken up because we can get in this downward slide. And Christians in this country are in a downward slide.
Right, sure.
And not even realizing it, because that's what apathy does. It's a slow process. I mean, very few now go faithfully to all the services in church. So we can blame COVID, but it's been other things, you know. Very few think that soul winning and witnessing is an urgent, vital need. Even with the many indicators that Christ soon return, and it could be today.
Yeah, amen.
I'd say amen to that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we're to occupy till he comes, okay? But because, even all the things we're seeing going on indicating he's coming back, very few seem to change. It's like there's a comfort zone drug that people are taking. Moses was finally changed one day to make a decision. Moses, either you act in faith or stay in this ridiculous comfort zone where your life is making no impact on anyone. So let's ask ourselves this question. What is it going to take for God to shake me out of my comfort zone? Can't you look around you right now and say, if there's not enough weird junk going on in this world to shake me out of my comfort zone, then I'm never going to be shook. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So really, we're talking here about his parents' faith. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, I think we need to grow in our faith to protect life.
Yeah.
I think we need to know that each child has a special purpose.
Yeah.
You with me here on this?
Amen.
He says, because they saw he was a proper child. They saw a future in their son that maybe no one else was paying attention to. And it is extreme measure. I mean, for the sake of time, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, they were challenged one day because they're going to kill all the babies, and so they put him in a little basket and put him in the river. Is that not faith?
Yeah.
Now, the world would say, that's nuts. But no, that was faith. Their faith went to extreme measures because their government was murdering babies.
Wow. Yeah, amen.
America has murdered millions of babies.
Yeah.
Some 62 million since Roe versus Wade. Now, think about this. Hitler murdered 6 million Jews. We multiplied that by over 10 times.
Yeah.
And that's been babies. Now, I'm not advocating violence against the government. Even Moses' parents didn't resort to violence, okay? But I think there's some things we can do.
Yeah.
And you say, what is this about missions? Just bear with me on this. This is about faith. We need to speak loudly against such atrocities.
Yeah,
we need to counsel every woman and girl you know that the horrifying dangers of murdering your own babies.
Yeah.
Years ago, the government made a law to that graphic pictures of aborted babies would be illegal. We need to summon all of our senators and require to change that law.
Yeah.
If people saw the graphic stuff of what was going on with these babies, I guarantee most of the country, as bad as it is, would say, let's get out of this thing.
Yeah.
And listen to me, no Christian should ever be found voting for someone that's murdering babies. You'll answer to God for that.
Yes.
All these vaccines coming out. Now, the Bill Gates vaccine, stay away from that. It's got aborted baby parts in it.
Yeah.
That was free, okay? But emphasize, abortion is evil. Listen to John 8:44. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not the truth. So let me say this, that's of the devil, okay? But let's go back. Where is this faith of his parents? Listen, they believed that God had a plan for their son.
Yes.
And so by faith, they acted so and trusted God.
Right.
And this is where every parent should view their children.
Okay.
They're not just offspring. They're souls.
Amen.
They're not just to be given existence. Boy, that's what's going on in our country. They're just letting kids live. No, that's not what God made us parents to instruct and guide them on, to lead them to find out what God wants for their life.
Yeah.
That was the faith of Moses' parents. And we need to have that kind of faith that separates us from the world. Look in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Are we not in a world that is full of influence, maybe more than ever in history? Bad influence. Now, faith involves separating ourselves from some things. I praise God that he set up the church. Aren't you glad you can come and get out of the church? Is not perfect this way, but it's a little bit of heaven on this earth.
Yeah.
We can get out of the world, fellowship with God's people, so we can go back in and not be we can be in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
But aren't you glad Wednesday night comes? You go, I can't wait to get back in the service. Sunday comes, man, I'm needing this. Amen. Amen. And that's so Lord Jesus was smart setting up the church. I'm glad we don't have to go to Jerusalem for worship every week.
Yeah.
So he set up the church so we could have that. But because of this world's interaction, it's around us. It affects us.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And we just got to separate. You know, we're in an age where people overindulge in the world. They gorge themselves on everything. Internet, boob tube, immorality, booze, drugs. It's overtaken everything. Like Moses, we must decide to make some things off limits.
Amen.
How about taking a day where you have no media? I don't know if I can do that. I got this phone, man. I can't let go of this. Come on.
Yeah.
Or maybe just time for the Lord. You know, Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. Touch not the unclean thing. And listen to me, this may involve some suffering. In verse 25, he choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You think Moses had to go without after that? Yeah, he had to flee to the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, Moses knew it would take him out of his comfort zone if he helped his people. See, faith believes the things of God are more important than anything else this world can provide. Apparently, the things Moses was around, he enjoyed, was not always good for him. There were pleasures of sin, but it was for a season. But my question is, when will God's people begin to see living for God, even if suffering, is far better than the destruction this world can offer? I had a friend that, when I was in high school. It was in our home church. We had a great youth department. And Ron lived down a few blocks from the church. His parents were Christians. But he got into drugs. That was back when LSD was around. And it was sad. It was taking his life away. And I was in Bible college. I got a call back then. You know, we didn't have cell phones. And they had at the end of the hall, there was one phone, you know, and for the dorm. And someone said, "Lydie, he got a call for you." So I went down to picked up the phone, and it was Ron on the other end. And he says, "Danny," that's what he called me those days. He said, "Would you pray for me?" I go, "Sure, Ron, what's going on?" He goes, "I'm in a sane asylum." He says, "I can't get in. The drugs have ruined my mind. They can't go into reality and out of reality. I don't know when I'm always with it." And my heart was broken. But I was thankful that I made the right choices to separate from the world.
Yeah.
This world just, it'll chew you up, spit you out. I don't care who you are. The glamour described of Hollywood and sports stars is only propaganda. This world is, boy. But you know, faith in the Lord will bring riches and reward that are indescribable. Look in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had everything the world wanted to offer. And think about it. Egypt was the most powerful empire of its day at that time. He had all the luxuries everybody wished they could have. But you know, the greater riches was serving the Lord. You're going to be challenged this week for worldwide missions. And God's going to stretch you. I mean, I've been given to Faith Promise Mission since I was in fourth grade. And I'm not going to say what I'm given, but I'm given, I can't believe what I'm given right now. But it's only by God's grace. But you know, I have more than I've ever had. The old expression, my pastor used to tell me, you cannot give God. It's impossible. And you can't. And God's going to challenge you this week and stretch you. Say, "Well, man, I'm given more than I've ever given." So, God's given you back more than you've ever given. And so God's going to stretch you. The riches of Christ are far greater riches. The rewards are far greater than anything this world can ever give you. Have you ever seen people more unhappy and discontented people than Nancy Pelosi, George Soros, Rosie O'Donnell? Those people have all kinds of riches, but they're miserable people.
Right.
I've been in countries poverty stricken. My kids used to missionaries in Fiji, and they're some of the happiest people because they have the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, they live in shacks, but they're happy in the Lord. Because there's greater joy in suffering for Jesus brings greater riches than anything this world can offer. See, this brings me to this point. We need to have faith in the invisible God over the visible kingdoms. Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt.
Amen.
Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, Moses' faith knew that God ruled all nations.
Yeah.
If you fear what may come from a Biden administration, consider who is sovereign over all.
Amen.
As a Christian, I can be happy in the Lord under any condition because I know who is the King of Kings. Our comfort zone needs to be in God Himself.
Amen.
When you look at Egypt now, you laugh. Rome was mighty. Now we laugh at the power of the Italians. Babylon ruled the world. Now there's not even anything there. God's still around. Amen. He's still in charge. Amen. See, our faith needs to see beyond the physical and see the spiritual. See, faith's vision looks past the visible world. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, if your faith is real, it should cause you to act. Seeing the invisible God is more real than the visible world. That's the problem with our eyesight. It affects our actions. One of the greatest songwriters, Fanny Crosby, was blind. She saw spiritual things that we don't see.
Yeah.
Gideon looked out at 135,000 Midianites. And he had 300 men. He says, no problem.
Yeah.
Why? Because he knew God. He was having faith in God. He saw the invisible power of God. And he moved by faith.
Amen.
What do you see when you're looking around at the things in this world? My biggest burden is it's affecting our missionaries. It breaks my heart. I read our missionary letters on Wednesday night to the church, and this COVID thing keeps coming up. It's the devil, spiritual battle. It has nothing to do with health. The devil's using that to try to discourage and defeat the message of God going out. I'm not fear of the future. My trust is in the visible God by faith. And so we need to have faith to trust in the miraculous God. Let's look this. I'll wrap this up. Verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. See, they acted by faith in what had not happened. Notice, He trusted the Lord. They kept the Passover, trusting in what the Lord that would come and the blood that would be shed for us. They acted by faith in what was against the rules of nature. You ever try to put yourself with the Jews and the Israelites as they're going through the Red Sea? And we always think of the miracle, but I like to put ourselves in the Bible. And you're walking through and I don't know about you, this has challenged my faith. My faith, it's dry land, but I mean, there's, 50, 60 foot wall of water on either side. And I'm going through that. I go, okay, this isn't real. This isn't normal. I mean, but by faith, they walked through and they trusted God because, I mean, that's an act of faith, just walking through that thing.
Yeah.
And by faith, they saw what God could do when they stepped out in faith to do it. I like that song. It says, with all the many miracles, why don't you think it's possible?
Amen.
With all the many things we've seen, why do you think it's just a dream? With all the things he's done for us, don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible with all the many miracles. With all the many miracles. God's done a lot of things. If you've experienced God, if you've been saved and you've been walking with God, you've had experiences with God that are great miracles.
Amen.
I've seen them. I've experienced them. And with all that, why can't we trust God for the next step? When the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor took place, America was shaken out of its comfort zone and entered World War II. Before that, we were doing fine here, though England was on the brink of annihilation. The people here had no urgency for war until it hit home personally. We're in a spiritual war that's been going on for millenniums. The devil's trying to destroy. We've got to step out and have greater faith. This missions conference, that's what it's about. A man in my church, retired LAPD sometime. He was 22 years undercover narc. He came to our church probably 20 years ago, retired and came up to live there. Came to our first missions conference. He never, you know, he was in an independent Baptist church, but some churches don't have faith promise. And we had a faith promise missions conference, and he looked at his wife. He goes, "Man, this preacher," he said, "he's telling us to step out in faith," and he says, "I'm on a fixed income now, you know." And so three, 4 weeks ago, he was talking to me about this, and they were at our house, he and his wife, and he said, "So we stepped out in faith," and he says, "we were given like $25 a month or something," and we thought that was a big deal. And he said, "Every year I'd get challenged to do more." He says, "I'm on a fixed income." He says, "And then God would bless." And he says, we're giving $800 a month now." And he said, "I'm going to have more money than I've ever had." And he says, "God just keeps blessing." He says, "Preacher, I'm glad you challenged us to step out in faith."
Amen.
God's going to challenge you. You may not be giving $800 a month, but it may be a stretch from what you're giving maybe this last year. Or maybe you've never given. But hey, it's always good to experience what God does. When you step out in faith, you're testing God. This is the only place you can test God. "Prove me now herewith if I want to open the windows of heaven." And he'll do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer.